They think you could tell us what to do. You think you could tell us what to wear. You think that you're better. Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. Today it's at Jerome Solomon, at Jon Snow with a zero. I don't know. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you want to get in this hour, that's going to be your best way to do it. Hit us up on Twitter, the text line, or Facebook, because we are going to go through all the NFL games. AJ and I did this yesterday. But, so what I'm going to do is throw the game out there, let you talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
And, I'll just throw in that what we usually do is we talk about the spreads, because a lot of people are in these things where they have to pick every game, which I think is silly, but okay. But I will tell you if there's
I'm really good at that, like, fresh off the top of my head without putting deep thought into it.
Perfect.
And I think most people are.
Yeah.
I think once you start really studying and lock in on something,
you find out how hard it is.
Yeah, you realize, okay, I don't want to do this.
All right, we'll start off with the Colts and Jags, and the Colts are 2.5-point favorites, this one at Wembley Stadium. And AJ brought up a pretty good point about this yesterday. The Jags have played over there four times now. The Colts never have. Is that an advantage? What do you see there?
Oh, that's certainly an advantage. I mean, it's more of an advantage playing there than playing in Jacksonville. I mean, so I would make that, you know, something that means something. But it's not a home field. It gives them more than they would get in Jacksonville. What's the spread?
Colts by 2.5.
Colts by 2.5. Wow. I just can't. I'm spoiled. I love Andrew Luck. I don't bet against him in those situations, but I wouldn't put a nickel on this game. That's too close.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but it's one of those you have to pick for your pool. I think if you had to, then I
got the Colts.
Okay.
But
yeah, I think I would go the other way, but again, I wouldn't. You could give me money to bet this, and I would say no. Mm-hmm. I would say keep your damn money. Washington minus 7.5 at home against the Browns. Browns actually 2-1 against the spread. Also, should have won the game against Miami, who flattered them by looking just fantastic last night, especially in those beautiful uniforms. I think the Redskins stomp a hole in them here. I really do. I think the smoke and mirrors ends for the Browns, and I actually am playing the Redskins to cover the 7.5.
I think that too, but I don't even have to look them up to find them, but you darn that well know the numbers of spreads over 7.
Yeah.
And we're talking the Redskins over 7.
I look at it this way. Last week, the Dolphins, who are a totally crap team, were 9.5-point favorites over the Browns. I feel like I'm getting 2 free points with a better football team. So,
yeah, there's no question about the Dolphins are worse than the Redskins. So in that sense, I'm... If I had to put something on one side, I'd go Redskins.
All right.
I mean, the racial slurs is the kind of team you want to bet on in this situation.
Okay. Is that what you're calling them, the Washington racial slurs?
I've been doing that for several years now.
Okay.
Because that's what they are.
All right. Seattle minus 2.5 at the Jets.
Seattle.
Really?
Even with the full...
With a banged-up Russell Wilson on the road?
Even with the banged-up Russell Wilson, that cross-country
West Coast
trek,
to East Coast,
that
noon
makes
start.
A big difference, et cetera. Fitzy Cent still starting quarterback for the Jets.
He's not going to be as bad as he was last week. That's impossible. It's impossible. Nobody can be that bad ever again.
No. Yes, it is possible, because he's 50 Cent. That's what he does. I mean, so he'll only throw 3 interceptions. He'll only throw 3 bad throws when you're like, the guy was never open. There were 3 defenders between you and him, and you threw it anyway. Why would you do that? because I'm a Harvard-educated football player and I got no business being in the NFL. But thank you very much. I'll take the money.
All right, I'll go the other way. I think the Jets cover the 2.5. Not a play. The only play that I have in the NFL Sunday is the Redskins -7.5. And all my college plays are on the website if you want to check them out. I might get to them on the show today at some point. We'll see. All right, Carolina -3 at Atlanta, I think.
Panthers.
Okay.
Mainly because Atlanta's not great, and Atlanta's strength looked like a strength because they're running against the
Saints
last week. Yeah. But their strength is running. Panthers defense, good against the run. And the Panthers, a little perturbed at how they've gotten off to a start. They're going to show up and really torture somebody real soon. It might be this week. I'd take the Panthers big time.
Okay, here's another game that I wouldn't touch if you paid me. Lions -3 at the Bears.
Jeez, you're right. You wouldn't bet on any of these teams.
No.
But, again, this is one of those where the Lions can light it up. The Bears can't. Bears at home as a favorite?
A dog. A three-point dog, yeah.
The Lions on the road as a favorite?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a scary thought,
isn't it? The Lions. But I wouldn't bet on the Bears, period.
Your Texans, 4.5-point favorites over the Titans. Actually, I like the Texans to cover this quite a bit.
I don't think that'll be even much of a contest. The Texans are a team that, one, they're better than the Titans, period, across the board. And Bill O'Brien is a guy who gets his team really, really ready to play after they've been mollywopped the week before. And he's a coach who gets his team mollywopped on occasion, and they show back up. And that's why the first thing we played when the show started, if you guys weren't here at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, he's really salty right now because he's getting his team ready to play. It's all fake for us, but it works with his players. The Texans should roll.
Yeah, and they have a tendency to feast on these bad teams, especially at home. So I'd feel pretty good about betting the Texans here. And I might add that as a play at some point. I haven't decided yet. But Baltimore -3.5 at home against the Raiders. Another noon game for a West Coast team, which I don't like. But I don't like how the Raiders...
Bunch of horrible games.
Oh, God, it's brutal, isn't it?
In terms of making a pick, because nothing is all that solid. My goodness.
Now, to me, the lines almost seem perfect.
Didn't the Raiders win one of these, like, early in the season when they had no business going? It might have been against the Titans or something, but it wasn't all the way to the East Coast.
No, I like the Raiders here. It's the only thing that would keep me from playing it, and it's going to keep me from playing it, is I hate West Coast teams playing noon games on the East Coast.
Yeah, I would go Ravens on that, because and the Ravens are at a spot where they kind of need this one, so... Yeah, I'd take the Ravens.
Denver Broncos at Tampa Bay, and the Broncos are 3-point favorites on the road against the Bucs.
Man, it's not easy. When you got a great coach like Gary Kubiak, and, a team that's, a Super Bowl favorite, they won the title last year, and they're so dominant, you got to go with the Buccaneers. At some point, Denver's going to show up, and Simeon's not going to look good. Might as well be this week, right?
Cowboys -2.5 against the San Francisco 49ers.
The 49ers are so bad. But again, this is weird because it's in San Francisco, and no Des Bryant. That affects what the Cowboys want to do on offense. I don't care what Dak Prescott claims. It doesn't change what I'm thinking. It should. 49ers offense gets on track against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are subject to lose this one. I'll take 49ers.
Saints +4 at the Chargers. It's two teams that can put it up and don't play any defense.
That's why I'll take the Saints. I know they're not going to play good defense, but their offense is good enough. And the Chargers aren't any good. So a team... There is a simple rule, right? A bad team should not be favored by more than 3 points, ever, right? And the Chargers are bad.
All right. your Los Angeles Rams, led by Case Keenum, +8 at Arizona. I kind of had the feeling, we talked about this yesterday, I had the feeling that Arizona's going to get right at some point and just blast somebody, and this might be the week.
I don't even know how the Rams have, you know, managed to... They played terribly and still been in a couple of games. Yeah, this is one of those where the Cardinals are due. And the Cardinals are sort of like the Panthers. They're due, but the Cardinals even more due this week. They're at home. They'll blow somebody out, and it might as well be the Rams.
Yeah. Chiefs +5 at the Steelers.
Ooh. Well, night game, Pittsburgh will be rocking. They're a little peeved about last, you know, the way they've played thus far. Boy, I hate giving that many points, though.
Yeah, well, God, if you're saying five, you're thinking, okay, well, the Steelers are going to beat them by more than a touchdown if you're going to cover, or a touchdown or more. So.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers. These games haven't been that great this far this season. So.
And Monday night, Giants +5 at the Vikings. I actually like the Giants +5, and that's on my potential playlist.
Yeah, the Vikings have exceeded expectations to this point based on losing Bridgewater and AD. It's time for them to come back a little bit. I'd take the Giants on those ones. Hate it. But you're right. There's nothing that you just love.
No, this is not a week where I'm going to unload on any NFL game. And I've been doing significantly better on colleges and CFL than I have NFL anyway. So I'm going to, that's where my focus is going to be. And we'll talk about.
You stay away from the NFL and hockey, you'll be all right.
Yeah. the hockey tournament did not go well for me. I think two winning tickets. One of them was good enough to get me to almost even on it, but that tournament did not go well. But that's all right. I got cocky because I crushed the playoffs so much last year, and this is just a different, completely different thing, and I didn't do a good job with it. But
it's been a weird year, though. I mean, the games have set up to be a little odd. I mean, there's been no more than, what, one or two games a week that are just kind of locks.
Well, I
and there is no lock this week at all, basically.
No, I think volume-wise, I probably had more last week than I've ever had, and that's the other thing where I'm kind of backing off a little bit, because if I play more than three or four a weekend, I'm playing too many games, generally. John, do I have some? I have something here, because if I want to stay home all day Sunday and watch the games and I run out of beer, I'm not going to run out of beer for a while.
But you can't, apparently.
That's going to last me for a little while. But let's say I did run out of beer, and I wanted somebody to get it for me. You know who could do it? Get me. Maybe I want a pizza to go with it. You know what? They can go get that for me, too. Or, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I want them to come pick me up and take me to a bar so I can have a pizza and a beer. Well, they can do that, too. They're everything rolled into one. They're based right here in Texas. And for my friends in Galveston, I'll tell you what, they're in Galveston, too. So if you're going down to the island and you want to go to one of the bars or go watch a game down there and you don't want to drive, which is probably smart if you're going to the bar, Get Me will take care of you. Texas-based Get Me is the best way to get you around town and get anything you want delivered. Alcohol, done. Food, done. You want takeout, you don't want to leave the house. Weather's been nice, but when it's raining, you don't want to go anywhere. They're going to take care of that for you, too. It's that easy. Almost anything you want delivered and anywhere you need to go, think Get Me. All you have to do is grab your phone, download Get Me now, and use promo code BLITZ, and you're going to get 20% off every ride or delivery every time. That's promo code BLITZ, 20% off every time. We're going to do a little bar hopping tonight. Pretty sure Get Me's going to be involved, because I know how our little bar hopping sessions go. So whatever you need, man, give them a try. This is a Texas-based company and run by a Blitzer, and they love the Blitzers. They want to take care of the Blitzers. So you want that 20% off every delivery, every time. Download Get Me now. Get the Get Me app today. No one does a damn thing that brings me down,
but I won't let them in my ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz.
No A.J. Hoffman, though.
No.
He just sent out a tweet a few minutes ago.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. And he's in New Orleans.
Right.
Relaxing, having a good time.
I'm sure.
And he sent the words "beats working ... along with a photo of some glasses with concoctions in them that looks like beer. And on the table, there are a couple of cards that have the words "foon," F-O-U space, capital F-O-U-N-E. And I was like, a little French from A.J. Hoffman. And I Google the "foufon," and I can't even say what the first few things that come up that say what "foufon" is. But I assume he's not at that kind of place. I don't know. Or should I not assume?
No, you should never assume anything.
I'm just saying, A.J. is the one who sent it out. But the street terms for that is like, what? The very first one that comes up is an Urban Dictionary. And I'm like, what?
You put that in Google Translate.
I know. I Googled, really? Where's Google? I'm in Google, I translate "foufon" and
it means crazy.
Ah.
If you put the two words together, I separated with a space. You put them together, F-O-U-F-O-U-N-E, boom, it's even worse than what I was looking at. Pow. Meow. Meow.
Interesting.
Scandalous. So that's, and AJ is at a place where it's $3 for $35. Or $5 for $50. Mm. You just want a little taste.
Nick says it's a really good sour beer.
Clearly.
AJ
now we're back to
beers.
We're back to the trough talk.
Okay.
This is not going where I thought it was going to go.
Probably not. I don't mess with those. Any French word in New Orleans, I'm not even going to mess with. I'm just telling you.
Just let him go.
It's going to be a mess.
It will lead you down a road that, you know.
Yeah, I just.
A good old normal American guy like you and I, we're not meant to be all in, you know, into that. Not at all.
I wanted to get your take on this real quick, and we'll have RJ Bell next segment. But you're friends with Charles Robinson, aren't you? Or you know him?
I know him.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Earlier this week, he came out with a comment that Mark Cuban's prediction that the NFL is going to basically be in decline. It just looks like he's right because the Monday night ratings were so down. And honestly, man. And even compared to the Obama-Romney nights 4 years ago. But they had 86 million people watching those debates Monday night. And frankly, I had a choice between the two. I watched the debates, and I'm about as much of a football lover as there is. I would flip back because I had the over in that game, and I was checking on that. But I think that's a really weak take. To pull off of that game and then try to use that as a reason why they're... And plus, ratings are going to decline because of the way that people are watching the games now in so many different ways. And that's, right. That's the same thing with radio. I mean, we've talked about this before.
The numbers are going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, you have to look at things in a different way. Now, advertisers don't like that. But the reality is, I mean, people are watching on their phones. And they're... watching it on their laptops.
And they're recording them and watching them later. And they're all in one room watching it on a bar screen and on and on and on. And even that number where you're like, the number's larger than it's been. Well, the population is much bigger than it was back then, too. So, but that aside, no, that, please. And think of the two teams that were playing.
Yeah, although...
I mean, who goes out of their way to watch those teams play?
Those of us who bet the over. But also, if you like offense, that's my kind of game. The reality is, though, it's...
No, yeah, your kind of game, but you also are very familiar with these teams and what they do. And like you said, you have a financial interest in it.
But
the average Joe Blow isn't. And on a bigger picture, even within what he's talking about, as wrong as I think he is, I mean, at this point, and granted, we're only 3 weeks in here into this NFL season, it's a different kind of season. Like, right now, if I said, okay, who's the big dog? The dominant big dog that everybody needs to hate. There really isn't one. The best you would say probably would be, the Patriots, because it's always the Patriots, right? But Tom Brady isn't even playing. If Tom Brady was playing on these exact same Patriots team for these first three games, and they scored 40 points a game and won each game just like they did, or they didn't score 40, but I mean...
Might as well.
You'd care. There would be a little more attention being played. So it's a different kind of season thus far because it still has to play its way out. We still have to figure it out. So the Broncos are unbeaten, right? They won the Super Bowl. Are they nearly as interesting today as they would be if Peyton Manning were back playing for them and they were 3-0? Same record. Nothing changed. If he were on the team, they would be more interesting to your average Joe Blow, who is not throwing money on games, just watching. And that, so yeah, it is a little different, but it's not because the league is going down. It's just because it's a little bit different so far this season. 8-9 games in, or a better way of putting it, after 3 games last year, was most of the non-hardcore football fan, hell, even the hardcore football fan, thinking, man, got to watch these Carolina Panthers. Got to be all over them. No, they weren't. 9-10 games in, everybody was riding the Panther train. 9-10 games in, every year in the NFL, we decide how big that season is going to be. And right now, we just haven't yet.
And, 832 brings up a good point. That 86 million number is a little misleading, too. That was only for the major networks, not the minor ones like PBS and the people who watched online. Well, it's pretty much the same thing. You've got people watching on different platforms. Mm-hmm. And Mott says, going to call BS on ratings decline because of different platforms. Different platforms have existed for a while. Yeah, they have existed for a while, but they haven't been, people haven't used them until the last couple of years.
They've existed for a while, but they haven't been so easy.
It wasn't, but say
5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago, where you, 10 years ago, you try to download a 30-second video, it would take forever. Now, you're watching live television instantly. The world has changed, and yeah, that's all different. And yeah, no, it's,
but
I would accept an argument that there's been a bit of a decline, perhaps, in viewership. I would not accept an argument that the NFL is less popular now than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. People are all over the NFL still.
While those platforms may have been there for 4 or 5 years, they don't. Nobody's doing them right off the bat. And the NFL's also streaming games on Twitter. They're sending you to Twitter to watch a game now. Okay, that is going to take eyeballs away because people will watch it on Twitter instead of sitting there at home. And it's no different than what we do by telling you to go to Podcast Arena. Say, well, we're not getting ratings points for that.
But so, if you want to listen to the show.
It's not just that the platforms exist. It's that everyone is trying to get you to use those platforms now and that they're promoting those and they're pushing you to them. So one person with a meter who might have watched the game on TV can now watch it on Twitter. What's he going to do? Mm-hmm.
And you are really, you don't have the pressure that you used to have. I mean, think about it. 20 years ago, the Super Bowl kicks off at 5:18, and you know it. I could not even think of having you do anything else at 5'18", except you're like, dude, I can't do it. Like, but Freddie, I just got shot. I want you to come to the hospital. You're like, but kickoff's at 5'18", bro. I'll see you later. Well, now you go like, oh, okay, I'll DVR and I'll come back around, or I'll watch it while I'm driving or riding. And yeah, don't lie. You know darn well you're riding down the freeway looking at your phone. And I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm talking to people. No,
but people are
in a different world.
You don't have to. If you don't have to be at home to watch it, and you can be out, hey, you might even be on a date. I don't do that anymore. But if I were out on a date, and I'd have my phone there watching the game, especially if she wasn't that interesting or interested in me, which is a more likely scenario.
We have more options now,
and not just that those have existed, but that people are being pushed towards them.
And to be fair, in a sense of. How popular is it? Is a challenging discussion, but it is the most popular thing, period. So if it's not as big as it once was, it's still the most popular thing, period.
All right. Gabriel says he's only watched TNF on Twitter this year due to work, and it streams great. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. RJ Bell next, talking a little gambling. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This segment with RJ Bell is brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
A GE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No AJ today, but as we do every Friday, we have RJ, founder of pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, RJ Bell. Mr. Bell, happy Friday. How the heck are you, sir?
You think anyone's listening without AJ?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're fine. We're fine.
We've done studies on this. It's a non-factor.
Jerome does okay.
He's... People are not as disgusted, so some of them, but you missed that part of the show.
RJ, well, let's start off because one of your, and guys, if you're not following RJ on Twitter, you're just missing out on loads of great information, whether you gamble or not. But when JJ Watt's injury came out, you tweeted out that he was that he had the biggest impact of any defensive player in the NFL as far as the point spread.
Yeah, that's at RJ in Vegas on Twitter. And to me, that's impressive, right? So just say it clean. Is of all the defensive players in the NFL, the most valuable is J.J. Watt. But I also think the fact that the debate on number two, and, you know, Von Miller, someone a lot of people talk about on this list, and I think rightfully so. Mac from Oakland, you know, is a part of the conversation. Obviously, we're talking defense now. The debate with, let's say, Von Miller is between a half a point and a point. So it's not like, oh, well, you know, he, 1.5 points versus 1.4, 1.3. No, it's like he's either triple as valuable or, you know, 50% more if it's 1 versus 1.5. But either way, just clearly J.J. Watt, most valuable defensive player. Now, I will say this. I don't think it hurts Houston as much as you might think this week because, as you guys know, there's been a lot of preparation time without J.J. Watt and, quite frank, you know, in the preseason and training camp. And also, he hasn't been 100% this year from all accounts. So the drop-off from the ideal of J.J. Watt to no J.J. Watt is significant. But I think the combination of the prep time without him and him being limited this year makes it less of an impact this week.
RJ, the game in London, one of those, I'm always intrigued.
You want to talk
this.
A little more, because I actually have some good stuff on the, you want to talk a little more about the game?
Yeah, Texas go ahead. Titans? Go ahead. Dive in.
Because it's interesting, because I was, talking about this game earlier, and like every fact kind of lines up with the Texans. You've got 10 days of rest. You've got the embarrassment on national TV against Belichick, where, you know, seemingly he can pull a guy off the street and win the game. And then, the debate is, how are we ever going to beat this guy? And, you know, when a team's embarrassed, there's two reasons you want to look to bet them the next week. One is you know they're focused, right? Is any professional athlete, even the guys we think maybe don't have great intangibles, they're not used to getting embarrassed. So when they get embarrassed, they tend to, you know, focus. And then number two, the public doesn't like to bet a team that they just lost money on or that looked feeble the week before. So on one hand, they're cheaper because people aren't betting them. On the other hand, they're more focused. Also, you got the Texans' last nine games against the Titans, 8-1 ATS. To me, that nine games or so is a perfect number of games because it's few, you know, it's especially when you're playing twice a year. So it's, you know, less than 5 years. So some of the same players, many of the same players, some of the same coaches, but it's not, it's extreme enough, 8-1, that it feels meaningful. And then when you look at Tennessee, I think there's a lot of negatives. I mean, the guys who watch the film look at Mariota and say, this guy has not made the steps you would expect in year two, at least so far. And then you just look at Tennessee in general. Last 39 games, they've covered nine times. Now, think about that. By definition, the spread is expectation. It's what's expected. Only nine times out of 39 do you achieve or exceed what's expected. And 30 times you fall short of what's expected. So it all kind of points to Houston. And this is where the wise guys, quite frankly, we don't always understand what they're thinking. There's been six times the sharp money on the Texans and five times the public money on Houston. So we have a sports book in town that they'll break it down for us. All right, wise guy money on it. This is the ratio. Public money, this is the ratio. So this is a pure public versus pros. Public on the Texans, minus 5.5 or so, down to 4.5 now, and the sharps on the Titans.
Aren't the sharps going to be on the dog end most of the time, though?
Now, here's what's interesting. If you force a pick, if you say pick somebody, they're going to pick. Now, there's no scenario they do that unless they were in some contest or something that they had to pick every game. Because most wise guys are in the NFL on pure just a side play. Not totals, not team totals, not quarters, but just who's going to win the game, what's the point spread, what's in the USA Today. You know, we give the odds to the Associated Press. Those game lines. A typical professional batter in Vegas is going to play in 4 weeks maybe. 10 to 12 side plays. So like three or slightly less than three a week, I think, is a good average. But if you force them to play, they're going to go to the dog a lot. But in the games they're actually going to bet, I think it's probably 60-65 dog, but it's not like 90%. So yeah, you could make the case over the long run. The fact that they like the dog is less of a surprise, but you know, if it's a 2-to-1 ratio, it's still, you know, they're liking the favorite a decent amount.
And RJ, real quick, in the even a more specific, you know, point within the JJ Watt deal, is it kind of one of those trick deals that JJ, all of a sudden now he's not playing this week, the public overreacts to that because it's this week, whereas the gamblers would go, whether he was here or not, it didn't change how they would bet this game based on he's not going to be there on when you find out on Wednesday. Of course, if he were the quarterback, that would be different. But as a defensive lineman, it really is not as significant a factor.
Well, you know, I here's the thing. I agree with you that most defensive linemen don't move the needle, right? There's probably less than... I mean, you can be generous, but there's probably less than 10 defensive players in the whole league that move the needle at all, even a half a point. I also think you touch on an interesting concept, which is big name injuries versus either cluster injuries or tipping point injuries. So let me give you an example. A cluster injury is simple, and an example of that is San Diego. They have so many injuries at receiver, at the playmaker positions, that it's not just first string to second string, but it's, okay, maybe third string is now the number one receiver, and then the number two is someone you just signed off the street, and you start to want, you know, they don't know the playbook, so you've got to put a package together, 12 plays or something. Like, that is where the real problems start when you get cluster injuries. Additionally, and the Bears are an example of a team that have what I call tipping point injuries, which is Malcolm Gladwell's concept in one of his books, actually called The Tipping Point, so I guess it was that one, is the idea that you can have something that happens and it has a little bit of an effect, then a little bit of an effect, and then eventually it has a huge effect, like a glass tipping over. And if you have so many injuries on one side of the ball, you can't compensate for it. So if you're calling the plays on that side of the ball, and thus the other team can exploit you easily. So let me give you an example. Imagine you have a couple of D-backs hurt. Well, that's going to hurt you, right? You not quite cluster injuries, but more than a few D-backs. Well, what can you do? Yeah. You can blitz more. That doesn't mean that it's easy, because if it was that easy, why sign any good D-backs, right? But at least you have a chance. You're going to blitz more. You're probably going to give up a few more big plays, but you're not going to be able to be exploited every play. But imagine you have two linebackers out and your best rush end. Now it's going to be hard to get pressure, and you can't guard. So you've reached a tipping point of injuries. The Bears, for example, have 5 defensive players out this week. 5 out of 11. So you just can't cover up that those kind of absences. And the reason I bring this up is a big name like an Adrian Peterson, a big name like a Teddy Bridgewater is going to get more attention from the media and thus the fans and thus the bettors, the recreational ones. But it has less of an effect. Like an Adrian Peterson has less of an effect, about a half point per game, than 5 players on a defense being out, even though most listeners can't name a single player that's out for the Bears.
Yeah, I'll let Fred come in with the next question, but I probably didn't ask it as clearly as I wanted to. My thinking is the Texans are favored what they're favored by, and if J.J. Watt hadn't played all season, they would still be favored by that amount. So, I think that's one of those trick things. But go ahead, Fred.
Real quickly, I wanted to get to that Jacksonville game, because now that they've had experience doing this, the Colts haven't. How much of an advantage is that for Jacksonville? And is this more of an advantage than they would have if they were actually playing a home game?
Huh. That second part of the question was interesting. No. I think your home field is always going to be better, because whatever phenomenon is going on here, I think, you know, that's interesting, though. So let's talk about, you got me thinking, let's talk about one of the phenomenons in this game, and then we can kind of break it down, compare it to typical home field. So this is the 4th year Jacksonville is playing in London. First time ever for the Colts. So what Jacksonville did on this travel is first time they've ever done this, right? So they practiced Thursday, yesterday. Then they took a red eye to London, and they actually told the players, you've got to sleep. You can't play your games, you know, on your phones or whatever. You can't watch movies. You know, imagine like when you're a kid, parents put you to bed and said, you're either going to stare at the wall or you're going to sleep, right? You're not watching TV. And then they actually had a practice today, London time, around, I think it was noon London time. So no team's ever done this, but they looked at it. They have, you know, multiple years of experience, and they said, this is the way we think we can do this. So that, to me, is something with the Colts never having done this before. Even if the game was in Jacksonville, there wouldn't be that advantage. So in that narrow sense, undoubtedly, the Jacksonville advantage is significant and bigger than it would be if the Colts just had to travel to Jacksonville. Now, additionally, I think there's some small advantages in London for Jacksonville, but they'd be bigger if the game was in Jacksonville. One is the crowd's going to be typically a little more behind Jacksonville because they play there so much. Number two is they're familiar with the field, playing there every year. But obviously, the crowd's more behind them at home, and they're more familiar with the field. That field, I think, is a key point because the Colts are not a good road team. Andrew Luck's career at home, 23-9 straight up. On the road, 16-16 straight up. So a huge difference. One of the reasons they have a dome and they have, you know, no elements to worry about. The turf is the same every week because there's no rain or snow or anything on it. And their passing game for the Colts is timing-based. As you know, all NFL passing games are to some degree, but this is even more than average. So now you're out in the elements. You're in a stadium you've never played in London, and it's grass. And it's thick, slick grass is kind of the reports, is what people call it. So I think it's a big disadvantage for the Colts, who aren't a very good road team to the start with. And that's, you add it all up. I think the everything else, I think, is a wash. These are even teams, I think, in general. And thus, we have an advantage with the Jags, and we're getting 2.5 points. I think it's one of the better bets of the week.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Check out pregame.com. It is fantastic, and he does a great job with that site. RJ, as always, great stuff, my man.
My pleasure. Thank you. Hey, we don't really need AJ. Who we care?
Who's yeah, kidding? We're fine. We're fine. But thanks, he'll be back next week. So.
Hey, I didn't say anything.
Indeed. Thanks.
We know he's not listening. He's drunk by now.
Bye-bye.
See you, man.
And that's the thing that tricks me in that it's Jacksonville. And it's Andrew Luck. If we're Jacksonville against a bunch of other teams, I'd buy into it a little bit more.
But see, this is why we have RJ on. RJ strips away.
It's real.
He strips away the names.
He doesn't care that Andrew Luck's from Houston. I do. You're right? And that makes me not a good bettor when it comes to Andrew Luck.
All right. Quick break. Gym of the Day coming up next. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This segment with RJ Bell was brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
Visit AcceptanceAppliance.com for all your home appliance needs.
You're listening to
Cowboys 49ers NFL 3 p.m. Sunday on ESPN 97.5, presented by Berryman Automotive Products.
And we're back. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Couple things. First off, Ben Simmons, fractured bone in his foot. Welcome to the NBA.
Tell me it's not that. What's the one?
The marsupial or whatever?
That fifth marsupial.
Just SportsCenter just sent a breaking number one overall pick. Ben Simmons fractures a bone in his right foot. Further medical evaluation and treatment options are being considered.
That one is the one. Whenever it's that one, that's the, you know, the Bill Walton and, you know, and on the list, that's kind of the first one we all knew about and carries on to the Yao Ming here locally. And that, if it's that one, that particular stress fracture is nasty. Weren't there stories here in the last few days that he went from 217 pounds to 250?
Yeah, he put on 33 pounds, so.
Well, you know, he carried that amount of much extra weight. Your foot is like, hey, get off me. Shut it down.
And that's
messed up because I was kind of interested in see how his game will translate because he's so smooth and seems so cool and he could have just floated in and been a spectacular player or he could have come in and been like, dude, can you show me a little more? We won't know now, I guess.
And then I just want to follow up on a conversation we were having earlier because there's been an entire conversation going on Twitter about it where I'm being misquoted. Because Lamont says, I can't say it's all about multiple platforms because there are other factors out there. I did mention that the debate was Monday night, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And that they were pulling one rating of one game that was up against probably the most anticipated debate ever. So I never said it was just about multiple platforms. I think that's a big part of it, though, and it's going to continue to be a part of it. It's also people cutting the cord and ESPN losing subscribers. Well, those are people who would be watching on ESPN. I think that is a big factor. It's not the only factor, but some of the other stuff that, you know, people are bringing up, like Colin Kaepernick, I don't think people are not watching football because of that.
And Frobius, you know, touched on, like, oh, college football is far more interesting. Well, to you.
Well, to me, too. I find college football more interesting.
I love college football, but let's not act like, you know, that everyone wants to watch. The very first weekend of the season was like, wow, what's the most spectacular college season, opening season with all the top ranked teams playing each other and how special it was that preview season when there weren't many games. And then the next week, we're all like, okay, there weren't any good games. It's still college football. It's not even close to being what the NFL is.
I prefer college football because I think it's more creative. It's more fun.
I love it. I covered it forever.
But that's not going to make me suddenly start watching that and then not watch the NFL. But...
They're not competing.
But not everybody.
They're not competing against them. And college football ratings are down too.
Yeah, actually, it's almost sport wide, with the exception the NBA finals were really high because I think you had a great matchup. But NBA regular seasons were down. Most of the playoffs were down, but the finals were pretty.
I pointed out to them the college football championship game last year. If you grab just 10 people, you walk by the next 10 people, you ask them who was in the championship game. You might be lucky to find one person to tell you Clemson played in it.
Fifth metatarsal was what you're looking for.
That's what I said. Yeah. Kind of, sort of.
The marsupial.
I got the fifth meta. Yeah. you threw the marsupials. I knew that. Yeah. I knew that was ridiculous.
And yeah.
I was like, well, at least I was with metatarpials.
Right. I haven't been able to keep up with your guys' conversation, so I'm just... You know, I'm picking up on what I'm seeing at the top here.
Yeah.
But I don't think I said that was the case. Yeah. But if I did, then clearly I misspoke.
The big thing is, it is a fascinating discussion of where are we going with sports. But we're like that with everything. The most popular television show isn't going to be what Dallas was in the 1980s. You know, it's not going to be what Cheers and the Cosby Show. The world has changed.
One of the biggest questions I get is, hey, I'm at work. Where can I stream the games? And that's good because people want to watch them. And this came up before. It came up with the whole sports bar factor. When sports bars started being the thing, it's like, oh, that's why they came up with portable people meters, because ESPN whined so much about how, oh, well, everybody's going to the bar to watch the games. That's why the ratings are down. So there's a lot to it. All right, we'll do that.
Some of us are old enough to have gone to, like, the first sports bar ever in the city of Houston. It was, of course, that Dan Patrick guy's joint. You remember that? Did you ever go there on, Rice and Kirby? Now it's a wing place. It's changed a few times since then. But it was the first sports bar in town. And when they put the Rockets games on HSC or whatever channel it was, you had to go that place to get them. It was weird. But that's how amazing it was that you couldn't just walk into a place and watch sporting events. And all of a sudden,
now you could do it everywhere.
Dan Patrick opened up a sports bar and had Hakeem Olajuwon's shoes, tennis shoes.
I don't think I ever went to that.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea what the name of it was. I'm pretty sure the
first sports bar I ever went to was Griff's.
No. This was before that. It was the first one. It's still there now. I don't know what it is. It's a restaurant or something. I don't know what it is, but it's at the corner of Rice and Kirby or University and Kirby, right? One of those joints right there.
I don't think I was ever there. That's odd. I rarely miss a bar. But
this was in your heyday. You drunk somewhere else, I guess.
Yeah, it's starting to sound familiar, actually, now that you mention it.
Texters, help him out here.
Yeah,
Dan Patrick's bar. I mean, he was the one that owned it. Yeah.
Well, the cool thing is, if you are going to a bar and watching these games, you can bet from your phone, and you can bet from your laptop. You can do it all on MyBookie, and if you know who's going to win, you're going to put the money down. Like last night, if you cashed in on that. That over, guess what? You want to get that money out? You can get it out today. And MyBookie is the only website I use now. I've ditched everybody else because you actually get paid. You're kind of wasting your time with these other guys. They've got live in-game betting. So you miss kickoff, you can still find something. And they offer fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. That's the biggest part. And for my horse racing friends, they have a full race book with track odds and all the track wagers. And I love to just sit there on Saturday all day in front of my TV watching college football and making plays there and playing the ponies. And if you join now, MyBookie is going to match your deposit with a 100% bonus. That's a 100% bonus. Use promo code FRED to activate the offer. You can visit the site, mybookie.lv, or call 844-900-BETS. That's 844-900-BETS. You play, you win, you get paid. Ditch your bookie. Try MyBookie. Sign up today.
eventually be a memory of a time I tried so hard.
Is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5.